It's Thanksgiving, and that means pie. Well, pumpkin or sweet potato may be at the top of your list. Key lime pie could make its way onto a table or two, along with apple, cherry, banana cream, chocolate, mincemeat, anyone? This hour is all about pie with the woman who wrote the book on it. Kate McDermott is a baker, teacher, and author. Her book is Art of the Pie, A Practical Guide to Homemade Crusts, Fillings, and Life. It is one of three nominees for this year's James Beard Foundation Book Award. And she joins us from Washington State, where it's a little after 4 in the morning, and that means she'll go to great lengths to support pie. Kate, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning from Pie Cottage. It is a little early here.
Well, let's start slightly philosophical, maybe a bit technical. What makes a pie a pie?
Well, there actually is a there was a debate that went on about this very subject at the turn of the last century. Technically, a pie is supposed to have both a lower crust and an upper crust. But I think that many, and if it doesn't, it's supposed to be, it's theoretically a tart. But I think Raymond Sokolov's words that he said, I may not be able to define a pie, but I know one when I see one, is probably the right answer.
Well, to me, pie, you see crimped edges. It's almost, it's a dessert. Does it have to, you know, does it have to conform to the pie shell and be a dessert?
No, pie can be anything. Pie is very adaptable, very forgiving. If you want it in a round pan, great. If you want to be pie R squared and do it in a cake pan, great. There's big slab pies that can be done on sheet pans. And I also consider, you know, things even like little crostatas, which is a rough rustic tart that has no pan at all. Theoretically, it's dough with a filling.
We've heard the phrase easy as pie, but making a pie can be pretty intense. And, you know, following directions, what makes it daunting?
I think pie gets a bad rap. Pie, I think for many, they are trying to achieve something that they see on the covers of magazines or in the centerfolds, and or even, you know, trying to make a particular pie that a relative has made for years in a particular way. And I think, you know, let's make our own pies. They'll have their own personality. They may not look like the ones that we see in glossy magazines or and you know, certainly mine don't. In fact, I can tell you that I once took a pie to a online event, and when I brought them in, I remember the producer looking at them and saying, "Oh, they're so," and there was this little pause, "rustic." But I think a pie is... don't worry about all the little these little things. You know, it's you put your heart in it, and that's the most important thing.
And so your pie, it's not about what it looks like, but it's about what it tastes like.
I think that yes and no. Okay. I think everybody does like to have you know, a pie that looks. That it will look like a pie, that it'll look like, you know, it's maybe got some nice lattice strips on it, but if the weave is a little weird, that's okay. So it's you know, it's up to every unique individual of how their pie is going to look.
Let's go through some of the major mistakes, some of the pitfalls we make with pie. What is the most obvious mistake?
Well, I think the most obvious mistake is to actually think of it as a mistake. I like to think of it as a creative outcome.
You're so forgiving.
Well, I'm one of those Pollyannas. I'll always try and find the positive way around something. So, and because I have taught so many people, you know, I think it's about 3,000 at this point. It's not hard. And I think if we set ourselves up to believe this is hard, we will succeed it with whatever we believe. So how about saying things like, I know how to fix this, or so what if the edges are cracking when I'm rolling it out? When I get that pie dough in the pie pan, I'm going to be cutting those off anyway, so why worry about something that I don't really need to be worrying about?
What about oven temperature?
Oven temperature, the biggest thing is to know, first of all, know your oven. Know its quirks. Know if it has a hot spot or a cool spot. And then also to make sure that it is calibrated to the best that you can. And what I mean by that is, if you have an oven that is 25 degrees off, that's not too much of a big, you know, a thing. But if you have an oven that maybe is 75 or 100 degrees off, either high or low, that can really affect your bake or anything. That could be even for your turkey today. So if you have an oven thermometer, put it in your oven and check it. I jokingly will say, put three in there. If two agree, then you know you're on the right.
Well, and as you said, you might have different spots in the oven where it's hotter or cooler. Never thought about that.
Yeah. Also things like when we put pies in the oven, the metal supports that hold up the racks, if you get your pie with your beautiful fluted edge or whatever is on your scallop or just a plain fork crimp like my grandmother did, but if you get that too close to those metal supports, that can your pie might get too brown on that side there. So make sure that it's moved over just an inch or two away from that. And then if you have a window in your oven, take advantage of that and look, if not very quickly, with pot holders close to you, open your oven, see if you need to rotate the pie or move it to a different rack or move it to a different position.
Oh, so you can, as it's cooking, make subtle adjustments to that pie to get a better outcome.
Absolutely. It's like life. We have to adjust constantly.
So, and what about where the pie should start? Is it in the middle of the oven? Is it on a lower rack? Where should that rack be positioned?
Well, I think it depends. Some recipes that I have and recipes that I read about in other books, because I try and keep current on lots of different pies and lots of different pie books. Some will say put that pie right down in the bottom of the oven where the heat element is so that it can get a good blast of heat on the bottom crust so that you can have a nice crust. But and oftentimes you can even you can put it on a heated sheet pan down there and then move it up as you need it. Or you can even put it on a heated pizza stone. I think the one thing you want to make sure, though, is that if it's down there for too long, it might your bottom crust sometimes might actually even get a little too brown. So if your heating element is down there at the bottom, then maybe place it down there at the bottom first, and then move it up into the middle of the pie. Now that being said, there's a lot of newer ovens that have multi-rack convection bake, and if it's an accurate one, then you should be able to put that pie on any rack in any position and have an even bake.
And speaking of ovens, I just was laughing when I read the name of yours, Thing 1 and Thing 2.
Oh, yes, you've done your homework.
That was pretty adorable.
Yeah, so I named them that, which you probably read because one of my readers said they bake pies. They bake pies fast. Thing 1 and Thing 2 will last and last.
Oh.
And I like that affirmation.
And you also say to be careful as you're moving these pies around. It's hot in there. And where that pie comes out and placing it, you think ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is something that we don't have sometimes first and forefront on our minds when we're baking and we're busy in a kitchen like today, one of our big holidays. We've got the turkey going, we've got Brussels sprouts or, you know, whatever you're having, and we're cooking and baking, and our counters are covered with lots of pots and pans. So now it's time to take your freshly baked pie out of the oven or your turkey or whatever, and make sure that you have a cleared off space ready for that hot equipment coming out of the oven, that hot pan coming out, so that you know where it's going to land.
And we're going to pause right there. Kate McDermott is with us. Her book is Art of the Pie. We're getting your questions about pie, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update.
Now your crusty pie look good in nice. When you cut it, please save me a slice. You got to give me some of it. Yes, you is.
The nutmeg dusted custard pie, or you might call it sugar cream pie, whatever you call it, there's butter in there. It was adopted as Indiana's official state pie by a state Senate resolution in 2009. And last year, pumpkin pie was designated the official state pie of Illinois. We're exploring the world of pie with help of baker teacher and author Kate McDermott. For years, the world's culinary elite have traveled to her legendary pie cottage in Washington State, making pie pilgrimages to learn baking techniques at her pie camps. Her book is Art of the Pie, a practical guide to homemade crusts, fillings, and life. You can speak up on pie. Are you making one right now by chance? How is it going? 800-642-1234. What is your favorite pie? Why do you love it so much? Does the taste keep you coming back again and again? Join in, 800-642-1234, or let's hear about it over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Well, Kate, those pie crusts, they can be something that, you know, you walk by in the grocery store and you see a pre-made pie shell and you think, you know what, that's pretty tempting. Are pie crusts intimidating?
I think they can be. I remember the first time I was asked to make some pies to take to my local Grange when I used to live out on a blueberry U-pick farm. And the farmer asked me if I would make some pies to take. And although I baked pies, I felt a little intimidated and I went right to the store and bought store-bought crusts. and I felt like, I could do better than this. So then it started a quest on what makes a good crust. But, you know, I think the bottom line is make the pie. And if a store-bought crust is what you can do that day, then do that. Don't, just do whatever works for you. Don't get upset about it. Just make a pie.
Are there any techniques on pie crust that have helped you over time? Mm-hmm.
Very much so. One of the biggest ones is to keep all my ingredients as chilled as possible. So my flour, I put it in the freezer. That's just for pie. I don't do that for bread or things like that. But, you know, I want my pie flour to be, my all-purpose flour to be as chilly as possible. My fats are well chilled. If I'm using a crockery bowl, I might even slip that into the freezer so that it keeps chilly, you know, on a very hot day. Or if my kitchen is very hot, I can double bowl my and put, you know, put my second bowl, have it with ice in there, put my top bowl with that I'm working in right in there so it keeps everything chilly. Another little trick.
What does the chilly part have to do with having a successful crust? What is that doing?
You want your dough to be as chilly as possible, because if your fats melt, mm-hmm. then and cover every single piece of flour, you will have a dough that cannot accept enough water so that it can steam your layers apart. So you want little chunks of cold fat in there so that they can, you'll have these little fatty deposits. So, you know, cold is the trick. And that can even be, you know, think about the temperature of your hands. Butter starts melting at 59 degrees, and our hands are usually, normally, they're in the 90s. So, you know, think about that. Hold on to some ice cubes.
Let's go to Rich, who is outside Wanakee. He has questions. Hi, Rich. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so fortunate that I caught this show at this time of day. I just happened to be out. But anyway, I made some pies last night. I'm new into pie making and baking. I do make my own crust and everything, and I'm struggling a little bit. They all turned out pretty good last night. I used lard. I'm not sure how you feel about using lard, and it's cold and all of that. The one thing, you know, and obviously the recipe calls for a certain amount of flour, but when I roll it out, do I have to be careful and cautious about the amount of flour that I add to it? Because I just heard you say, like, I noticed that I still have the large flecks of lard in my crust, which I think is a good thing. I noticed that as I'm rolling it out, but I tend to struggle with, like, the consistency. I'm using ice cold water and things like that. I'm just wondering if you could give any tips and if you think, like, how to handle crust and then if you prefer lard or butter. And then I guess I'll just listen. Thanks.
Well, Rich, you're doing exactly the right things, number one. I love lard. I use leaf lard and butter in the crust that I'm taking today to my Thanksgiving gathering. So, you know, bravo for you. If you're using, when you're rolling out dough, don't worry about if you've got some extra flour on there, because you just have a little pastry cloth nearby. You can brush off any extra. And when you're working the dough, just, you know, those extra pieces of fat in there, when you roll them out, make sure that that you have some flour on top of those so it doesn't stick on top, stick onto your rolling pin. So because stick go with stick. If it's sticky on top of the pie, it's going to be sticky on top, sticky on your pin. So just, you know, don't worry about putting a little extra cold flour on there. And move quickly. Don't think about the process too much. Just, you know, think, you know, boy, am I good at rolling out. And then make sure that your dough, when you're rolling it out, can move on whatever surface that you're rolling on. I like to have a little something between me, between the surface I'm rolling and the doughs. That can be a piece of plastic, wax paper, even the shiny side of freezer wrap. I use pastry cloths. You know, whatever you do, so that you can get that dough off of your surface. It's not a happy day if you roll out a beautiful dough, but you can't get it off the surface.
Yeah, I've been down that path. That is a frustrating deal.
Rich, Rich, which kind of pies did you make last night?
So last night I made a, my wife's family's from Louisville, so I made a Derby pie. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's it's chocolate chunks and either pecans or walnuts. My wife prefers the pecans, and then some other ingredients, eggs and things. And then the other one I made was a triple berry pie with blackberries, blueberries, and raspberries. And then I tried a different. I my personal favorite on Thanksgiving is pumpkin. And in the past, I've always used a recipe with evaporated milk, but I tried a recipe with sweetened condensed milk instead of sugar. So I'm excited to see how that turns out. And I played a little bit with my pumpkin spices this year. My wife always criticizes me because I follow the recipe so close. So this year I just tried to play with some things a little bit more because this is all new to me. But it's just unbelievable the sense of peace and contentment I get, like you say, in rolling out dough or preparing the ingredients. It's for a 46-year-old man, it's a brand new discovery for me, and I can't wait to get your book.
Kate, your thoughts. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say another, next time you make your pumpkin pie, I've got a little suggestion for you on another variation, is get a can of light coconut milk. Because that's another really good variation on pumpkin pie. It makes that filling exceptionally creamy and yummy.
Well, Rich, thank you so much and for sharing all of your pies, and really appreciate you calling in on this Thanksgiving. Kate, he talked about Derby pie, and are there some regional pies, some regional specialties that we might explore?
Well, let's see. I wouldn't say that I am an expert on what's in particular regions.
Mm-hmm.
Too much. I do know that, you know, as you mentioned, key lime is big in Florida.
Yep.
Apple is big in my part of the country. We have a lot of apple growing that happens up in Washington State. In Michigan, sour cherries.
Mm.
We also grow sour cherries here. But so I think it's, you know, kind of what grows in that area, in particular areas, may be, you know, why we have particular state pies.
What about savory pies? Can you go there?
Oh, yeah, I can go there any day of the week. So I think you can put pretty much anything between a bottom crust and a top crust. And so I love to make chicken pot pies. You can make turkey pot pies with your leftovers. I'll make vegetable pies, you know, anything, root vegetable pies, really anything. I'll even put a bunch of leftovers together and then thicken them up, you know, put some sort of, you know, maybe make a little sauce, put those in and bake it up. It's just delicious. It's pie. I think pie is just whatever you can imagine, you can do that.
Root vegetable pies. Let's explore that for a moment. What are you thinking there?
Well, what I would do sometimes is I will take and roast vegetables in the oven and get them, you know, not all the way roasted, but, you know, pretty close so I can just get a fork through them, not mushy. And that can be, potatoes, carrots, garlic, make sure you've got some onion, and everything's always good with garlic and onion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then just, you know, throw that stuff into your pie shell and put, you can even, you know, if you've got some leftover soup, thickened soup, you know, put that in. And then you could take some of your leftover turkey meat or chicken meat, you know, if you're not making a full-on chicken pot pie, a dedicated chicken pot pie or something, just take some stuff and put it all together in there. Yeah.
We're talking right now with Kate McDermott. Her book is Art of the Pie, a practical guide to homemade crusts, fillings, and life. You can join in on this pie conversation. Questions you have about making your pie, perhaps it's going on right now in the kitchen, 800-642-1234. You can share about your favorite pie to bake, memories about your favorite pie, and the tastes of pies that you keep coming back to. Join in, 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kate, Rich said he was experimenting with spices in his pumpkin pie. Can we talk about the spices we use, perhaps in pumpkin, which is so common on Thanksgiving?
Oh, absolutely. I just made two of them yesterday. So I put in mine, I'll put in a teaspoon of cinnamon, a teaspoon of ginger, a eighth of a teaspoon of nutmeg, and a little pinch of clove. But if you like to put other spices in, absolutely. And in general, spicing is, you're the judge. You take the final taste before you commit to putting that filling into your pie shell. If you feel a filling needs to have more sugar or more cinnamon, it does. It's your pie.
Chris on Facebook has a suggestion. Instead of condensed milk in the pumpkin pie, he suggests using Irish cream liqueur instead. He says takes a little longer to bake, but yum.
Oh my goodness, Chris, I have not tried that, and I will definitely be putting that on my list of things to do. Thank you.
So there are swaps you can do with different ingredients in pies and perhaps get a slightly different outcome.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as you were thinking, when we were talking about root vegetables, I was thinking about, you know, I make a winter vegetable shepherd's pie. And that is a pie that's covered with a potato crust. It's covered with a mashed potato crust.
Mm.
And, you know, so even in that sense, you can swap out something different in that particular pie for your crust. Shepherd's pies traditionally have a mashed potato type of a crust. But yes, you can swap out pretty much anything.
Well, Jacqueline on Facebook wants to talk lemon meringue, which she said is her absolute favorite. Can we discuss some of the approaches to making a successful lemon meringue pie?
Well, you channel my grandmother. That would be the first one. She was the queen of lemon meringue in our world. And so I think in general there, when you're making that pie, a lot of people will say, "Oh my gosh, the meringue was weeping, or the filling was weeping." There is a protein that is in egg, and it's only killed off by cooking for at least 4 minutes at a boil. So when you are putting when you're making the filling on top of the stove, and you've got your sugar and your lemons and your eggs in there, and it's you bring it up to heat, continue to boil it while it is getting thick. Continue to boil it for 3 to 4 minutes, four would be good, so that you can kill off that protein which causes the weeping.
That's one. Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the beating that goes on with the lemon meringue? I mean, my arm gets tired thinking about it. Should we be using electric processors, or do we hand beat for a lemon meringue?
I think it depends on how authentic you want to be in terms of, you know, what century do you want to be in?
Love the way you think.
I do have a beater. I have both, a hand beater, and I have a stand mixer, and I use a stand mixer when I'm making meringue.
Okay. Yeah. And then how stiff do you get those peaks?
You want to have it so that there are soft peaks coming up. You want to see soft peaks and thick foamy waves. It is done. And then once you put it on your pie, I start from the edges, and I put that on a hot lemon filling. Put that in your already baked pie shell.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be hot. And then you put on the meringue, and I start at the edges so that I can, it seals. It basically cooks on top there when it's hot and seals. And then I continue adding and going to the center. Then with the meringue, then I will take a knife or a spoon, and the handle of a spoon, the blade of a knife, and I'll pull up some soft peaks and then pop it in the oven.
It is Thanksgiving morning on the Ideas Network, talking lemon meringue pie. So many other pies out there to talk about. We are in the presence of the nationally recognized pie expert. Kate McDermott is with us. If you need to know something about the pie on your Thanksgiving table today, then you need to tap into the knowledge base of Kate at 800-642-1234. Her book is Art of the Pie, A Practical Guide to Homemade Crusts, Fillings, and Life. Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What's your favorite pie? We'll return after a news update. American Pie, that single was a number one hit for 4 weeks in 1972 here in the U.S., a song chock full of allusions. But when you think about it, Making pie has a whole lot of creative license. Pie has deeper meaning, and we're going there on pie, getting answers to straightforward questions, the quick fixes, and the tougher questions with our gateway to all things pie, Kate McDermott. Her book is Art of the Pie. It's one of three nominees for this year's James Beard Foundation Book Award. You can chime in on pie, 800-642-1234. Do you have a pie failure you want to talk about? It seemed like a great idea in the end. Perhaps it went in the garbage. What lessons did you learn about your pie disaster? We can go to the highs and the pie lows on this journey, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Lynn in Coloma. Hi, Lynn.
Hello. I just wanted to share something I just got done doing. I tend to just go ahead and make crust for two pies, and when I end up with a pumpkin, it's only one, a single crust. So I take the other crust, and I've got a little round cutter, and I use those mini pans that you use for hors d'oeuvres usually. And I have a little wooden thing, and I tamp the pie crust down into each one of those, and then I use my leftover pumpkin filling, and I use mincemeat because nobody in my family wants a big slice of mincemeat. They all just want a little taste. So I do my mincemeat and my leftover pumpkin in those little tiny tartlet pans, and then I don't waste anything.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's pretty perfect.
Yeah, and everybody just likes a bite. So
exactly,
And I thought this year I may go ahead and do the mincemeat for Christmas and put them on with the cookies.
Oh, what a wonderful idea. Thank you for sharing that. That's great.
But Lynn is also bringing up that you can, you have some ability to use your leftovers in different ways, and you have been just talking about using those vegetables and leftover turkey and making it into chicken pot pie. So there's quite a bit of versatility that you can do with the leftovers from pie filling to pie crusts.
Absolutely. I've done things like made little cinnamon sugar roll-ups, which I think we may have all had in some form if we were lucky enough to have somebody making pie in our house. You just roll out your dough, your leftover dough, sprinkle some sugar on there, some cinnamon, or other, you could even put some nuts in there and just roll it up like a jelly roll, and then cut it into smaller, like maybe 1-inch pieces, and bake them off for 15 minutes or so. You can also take some of your leftover dough and make even something called, I like to call them pie pops, and they're just it's exactly what you think. Cut two round pieces of dough, maybe about 2-3 inches in diameter, and put a little bit of filling in there. And put the top of your pieces on, and then crimp it with a fork. And you've got a little popsicle stick in there, too, and then bake it off. It's fun and easy and just, kind of adorable.
Yeah, it is so cute. Let's go to Brooke in Waukegan, Illinois. Hi, Brooke. Go ahead.
Hi there. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
My question for you is, I've been experimenting with pies, and I've got the making the crust good with the butter, but when I go to roll it out, it's always cracking and splitting as I roll it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you sure you have enough liquid that are you sure you've put enough water in?
And well, I put what the recipe called for.
Oh, now this is an interesting thing because not every recipe is to your particular environment. And why I say that is a recipe is a starting place. So I have had times where I have had to put 5 tablespoons of water in and up to 15 tablespoons. It's not what the recipe says. It's does the dough feel right? And if your dough feels dry, it needs more water.
Okay, well, that would make sense then. Okay, so when I take it out of the food processor, do I squeeze it first in the food processor to check for the moisture?
What it should feel like is cool clay that's moist without being sticky tacky. And if you can gather it into a ball and kind of a big ball, and you want to feel like it, it's almost like you could pat a baby's bottom. And if it holds together and it has that kind of nice consistency where you can go pat, 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 it's probably just fine. But if you take a squeeze of it and it's falling apart, just common sense would say, I think it needs more water.
Brooke, what types of pies are you making?
I made a cranberry walnut pie for a holiday dinner this year.
I'm making one of those after we get off the phone today.
I had a little extra filling, so I put some in a little pie plate. It is delicious.
Isn't it? It's like an alternative to a sour cherry pie for the winter.
And I actually think it's more like it's almost like a pecan pie consistency, mm-hmm. but it's not as sweet.
Yes, yeah. And there's so much pectin in those cranberries, you hardly need any thickener at all.
Exactly.
Well, Brooke, thank you so much for calling in with your question and sharing the pie you're making. Kate, do you have a favorite pie? Do you play favorites?
Oh, I do. My favorite pie is peach. And if I can only make one delicious peach pie in the summertime with peaches that you just bend over and you take a bite of them and that peach juice is dripping down your chin and you say, oh my gosh, that's the pie that is my favorite.
So does a pie, you know, what if you've got a soggy bottom or if you, as you mentioned there, I know the dough has to be just right and not falling apart. But if you do notice that your filling is runny or it just has way too much juice than you anticipated and you're getting a soggy bottom effect on that pie, what do you do?
Some people will paint the inside of their bottom crust before it bakes with egg whitewash. That's supposed to be a little barrier. Make sure that your thickener, that you have enough in a juicy fruit pie, which would be things like berry, cherry, rhubarb, things like that, that let off a lot of juice. Make sure you have enough. And then if you're using a thickener, say like quick cooking tapioca, make sure that you see steady bubbling coming through the vents or the latticework of your pie. Otherwise, you will have kind of like tapioca sludge on the bottom with fruit soup floating on top. It's happened to all of us. But make sure that you have put that pie, well-chilled pie also needs to go and get a blast of heat on the bottom so that you can set that bottom crust so it will not become too soggy or soggy. That's our goal. We don't want that.
And about food allergies or food intolerances, thinking about the gluten in flour, how do you work around the food allergies and not wanting to make someone sick, but still providing a mouthwatering dessert for everyone?
Mm-hmm. Well, I myself have celiac disease, which I found out in 2006 after I developed all these recipes. And I can't eat anything I bake unless I make a gluten-free pie. Oh. And so I spent a year working on a gluten-free dough, and I'm really happy with the ones that I have. I also have a gluten-free vegan dough for those who can't have eggs. And so I think there's a way around all of this. I wanted to have in the book that I wrote a dough for everyone so that everybody could enjoy pie. When you are making pies for your guests, it is a good idea to ask with so many allergies, just say, you know, just do you have any food sensitivities? Do you have any food allergies? You know, you don't want to put nuts in a pie if somebody has an allergy to that.
But you can make a gluten-free dough that really works for the fillings?
Yes, absolutely. And when you're doing this, when you're thinking about gluten-free doughs, it's not that it's hard. It's just different. So anything that you know about a gluten-full dough, which is what I like to call traditional doughs, gluten-full dough, you would forget and you would now go to this new technique of making a gluten-free dough. And it's not hard, it's just different.
Are there any fancy gadgets or maybe not so fancy gadgets to make a good pie? Some of your go-to tools in the kitchen?
My go-to, the high-tech mixing tool in my kitchen is a fork. I don't have very fancy tools. When I'm making pie, it's a rolling pin, a bowl, a fork, a spoon, and a measuring cup and a measuring spoons. And even if I don't have those, I can use a coffee cup, not a mug, but a coffee cup, and a spoon from the drawer. So, you know, there's nothing fancy about this.
I love it. I love it. So very accessible. You make pie so accessible. Is that really the takeaway here, that anyone can make a good pie?
Well, I think that anyone can and should try. And, you know, what's the worst that can happen? If it doesn't turn out quite right, you get out the lasagna pan. And you turn it into it, and if you've got really good ingredients, you've got the best fruit crumble in the world.
And fruit crumbles, you have to say, they're really good.
Oh, yeah, they are.
So you really can't go wrong. If all else fails, like you said, you just make a crumble and you move on in the world.
Right, and if somebody says, oh, my gosh, this is the best crumble ever, you don't say to them, oh, but it was supposed to be pie. You just say, thank you.
Well, Kate, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for getting up early with us, and happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, and be happy. Make pie.
Kate McDermott is a baker. She's a teacher, an author. Her book is Art of the Pie, A Practical Guide to Homemade Crusts, Fillings, and Life. This book was one of three nominees for this year's James Beard Foundation Book Award. This hour of the morning show was produced by Keely Baltina. Dean Kinetter provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Now go make a pie, but stay with us. We have more coming up here on the Ideas Network.